Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories. All building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, and welcome to Zero Degrees. I'm Harry, and actually I'm not joined by anybody. I'm joined by Lewis and Pyrion, as I went and featured on the Triforce a couple weeks ago while Sips' house was being flooded. So feel free to check out this special feature, rare guest episode of me on Triforce with my two fathers, Pyrion and Lewis. Enjoy!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Very special episode today.
Very special. Historic.
As one of our members is going to be sounding a little bit different today because of flooding, meaning that the dad garage is out of action, and we've had to bring in their son. bring in their replacement from the very excellent Zero Degrees podcast and Yogscast, of course, and my wonderful friend Harry. Well, welcome Harry to the show.
Hello, how are we doing?
All right, we're doing all right. It's unsettling.
This is weird to have you guess.
I feel like I'm like on my first day in the office. I'm wearing my dad's suit. I'm nervous. Everyone's talking at the coffee machine. I don't drink coffee yet because I'm 12.
Right.
It's intimidating, you know.
Yeah. You don't know anyone, and you know, you've seen these people from afar.
Yeah,
you know, you've admired them.
I've admired them a lot. I've got pictures of them on my wall of them, my posters.
You know what it reminds me of? Harry, do you remember your sister was in doing work experience? I think it was earlier this year.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And because she's so tall, I was like, you coming to the pub? And everyone was like, she's like 15, period. I was like, oh. It's like that. Just the new kid in the office.
It is literally just like that. No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry Sips isn't here. What's actually happened? Has Jersey been swept into the sea?
Storm Kieran has happened. Struck a mighty blow.
Back in the day, when I was only like 3 or 4, there was a big storm called the Great Wind.
1987.
'87.
I was at school. That was my first year of secondary school. And that was my first week when that happened. So I have very good recollection of it.
Yes.
It was insane.
It was a big wind that hit the south of England. And one of our trees in our garden blew over and crushed next door's greenhouse.
Oh my god!
That's what I remember.
I think it's in my lifetime the worst sort of national storm that I can remember. There might have been really bad ones that maybe affected very small regions. I mean, there have been some terrible storms that led to really bad floods, but in terms of just raw wind power, this one was the big one. And when it hit, the night before, very famously, the BBC weatherman was like, I've had a message from a Mrs. Stevenson in Kettering, and she says, is there a storm coming? No, there is no storm coming. And of course there was, and it was fucking devastating. So many trees got knocked down.
Did he continue his job? Because that's a pretty big boo-boo, right?
No, like, I think it was it John Ketley or was it Michael Fish?
It was Michael Fish.
Or was it? It was Michael Fish.
The original. 15 million trees were blown down.
15 million trees. Yeah, that's such a great stat. Wow.
I know.
Someone had to count all them, Harry. Someone had to go around and count all the trees.
How many roof tiles? Do we have 32 million roof tiles displaced?
So it did £6 billion worth of damage.
Wow, in 97 as well. That's a lot of money.
No, that's adjusted. That's
okay.
Adjusted.
Okay.
So 2 billion at the time, 6 billion adjusted.
Wow.
But yeah, absolutely mad. But here's the hurricane controversy. A few hours before it broke, he said during the weather, early on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. And it was the worst storm to hit Southeast England in 300
well,
years.
It wasn't technically a hurricane, though. I mean, even... I've referred to it as the Great Wind. Right? Like, this is not really... like we don't have proper scary American-style... you know, hurricanes and actual things that like Boba has every week.
Yeah.
You know, I think each hurricane that hits Florida does more damage than this ever did.
Right.
But equally,
there's
our,
like five of them a
month. Our infrastructure and our buildings aren't designed, you know, our poor trees aren't designed for this. Like,
they've got palm trees. They're like made of rubber. They just bend over. No
yeah,
problem.
They love it. They're happy in the wind. For us, it's like this shocking experience.
Sip said he had 4 feet of water outside his door at one point.
Oh my God.
Because it's sort of, you know, but then I guess it all drained away and just, but the thing is, this apparently this has happened to him before. So all of his stuff is up on tables anyway.
He lives
garage.
In Twickenham. Michael Fish lives in Twickenham. I'm going to keep my fucking eyes peeled for him. Sorry, carry on.
I think Michael Fish is dead, isn't he?
No.
But he died. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the guy, I'm thinking of Murray Walker.
Murray Walker with the Grand Prix announcer.
Yeah, they've all got similar vibes, haven't they?
Have like, they?
Old man with a moustache, you know, used to be on the BBC, you know, semi-famous just because we grew up in the 90s.
Like John
know?
Kettley, yeah.
Who the fuck is John Kettley? See, this is what I mean. Even like, your references even go over my head.
He's an old weatherman.
Who the fuck is John Kettley?
Do you have a list?
He looks exactly
period?
Like I thought he would look.
Do you have a list of your favorite weathermen? Like, oh
no,
my
but,
God.
So there was a song in the 80s. John Kettley is a weatherman, a weatherman, a weatherman. John Kettley is a weatherman, and so is Michael Fish. And it went on like that. It was like a novelty song.
A novelty song.
Yeah. That used to be a big thing, novelty songs.
They did. There were a bunch of them.
Yeah, you don't get them as much.
So I was thinking of one recently when we did the Dad's Army one, because Clive Dunn, who was the hopeless old doddering old man on Dad's Army, but actually he was quite a young man, did like, I think he even did like a Christmas number one.
Probably.
It was like the St. Winifred School Choir. There's no one quite like
Grandpa. Yeah, there's no one quite like Granddad. Yeah, that was a big one.
Oh my God. And so they used to do them all the time. I guess it was, the world was a smaller place back then, you know, and so everyone heard of everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like you couldn't get away from it all. It was the only thing that was on telly or on the radio, and everyone listened to the same couple of radio stations or watched the same couple of television shows. I guess even in the UK, we didn't have cable TV like the Americans did. Mm-hmm. To the extent that they did. You know, I'd occasionally go to my nana's and she did have cable TV and then there'd be hundreds of channels and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm a bit overwhelmed. But most people, and even today, look how popular Love Island or Big Brother or like these cultural trends, they do seem to kind of somehow penetrate through and everyone knows.
There's always going to be a few shows.
I think people enjoy it though. It's nice watching something else that other people have, you know, have watched, sharing in that cultural experience. I think it's enriching, right? Like it's kind of, it's nice to find your own niches on the internet, but equally it's kind of boring not being able to share that with anybody. It's quite funny to be able to watch this big cultural moment and point and laugh at it.
I certainly can't discuss Dota memes with Mrs. F, but if we watch a TV show together, we can talk about it. So niche interests are great and everything, but do you guys reckon, just I was thinking about this, that the whole novelty records thing has been replaced by people on YouTube or TikTok making a funny song?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just popular in that regard. Whereas previously you had to write something like Shut Up at Your Face. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, which was a very big song. What's the Matter You? Gotta Know Respect. It's a Nicer Day. Have some pizza. Shut Up at Your Face. As it goes.
Yeah.
It's the classic.
It's the Italian American slightly racist chant that probably wouldn't fly these days.
I think he was English. Oh, he's American Australian. He's a prick, by the way. I saw an interview with him. He does not see it as a novelty song that he got lucky with. He's like, people misunderstood my genius. He's a real ballad. It's quite funny.
Sure. Yeah, he doesn't think of his thing as a comedy song.
No.
His one-hit wonder. That's pretty... I sort of semi-expected it. You're right, like things like SNL. I saw the...
that sketch, right?
The Barbie parody they did. The one with it's just Pete, with Pete Davidson instead of Ken.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I don't really get Pete Davidson. Maybe it's a young person thing. Harry, maybe you can explain it to me. He's not funny.
I don't find him funny either.
No.
He's weird. I feel
he's
like
weird.
He falls into me in like that weird 2010 internet humor where random was funny. Do you know what I mean? Like that, he feels very much that kind of humor to me. And I never really got that humor.
I also don't understand how, I mean, he doesn't strike me as a particularly good looking chap. He must be extremely charming because he's had a lot of really hot girlfriends.
He has dated basically
everyone,
the best of the best.
The world.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's proof that little Jimmy can do it. He is an inspiration to every sad, cucked looking man in the world. It's brilliant. In that respect, I love him. You know,
he just looks like a really goofy guy.
Yeah.
Some people would say, you know, like, well, he's really funny and that obviously helps him.
But I don't think he's very funny.
No, he's not funny. Like, if you look at him on SNL, he's always Pete Davidson. He never plays a character.
That's the part of the song mocks this, really. You know, I think he's always been an SNL darling though, a little bit, and surrounded. He's lived in that world of high-end LA parties, drugs, I don't know, like surrounded by people who are in that oeuvre, you know? And also, I think when you date, all you have to do is date one real famous hot woman, and then other famous hot women will be like, oh, he dated that.
And that gives you like the pass.
Yeah, so you unlock that tier. There must be something. She dated him, so
it's pre-selection.
There must be something to him.
It's called pre-selection. Apparently, I'm sure we'll get some emails about this, but apparently, it's a theory that a lot of women, if they see a man in a relationship, will think, oh, he must be not bad because some other woman picked him. You know what I mean? Whereas I don't think blokes think like that at all.
Not quite.
So we don't think, oh, that girl's going out with that lad. Well, she must be all right then.
He's so attractive. That guy's ripplingly attractive. Wow.
I don't know.
Not really the same.
But yeah, novelty songs, they were this thing. There was like a Mr. Blobby one. There was all sorts, but now I guess it's more built into things like Bo Burnham or like things like this, right? Like
Tim Minchin is another guy.
Auntie Donna,
doesn't he?
Love Auntie Donna so much.
Right, I've forgotten. In the time it took me to say what I was going to think,
This is a trifle bit.
Is it? Am I experiencing a bit right now?
No, I just forgot.
Tick it off the bingo card. We carried on talking about something for 60 seconds too long, and periods forgotten his thread.
Standard.
Oh, it happens to the best.
Let me tell you about my flight. I got back from Seattle on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're sort of in a holding pattern here because Sips isn't here and we don't want to talk too much about what we've been doing while we've all been away.
I mean, it's all right because...
Fuck it. Let's do it anyway.
Sips doesn't play Dota anyway.
Sips can listen back to the podcast.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll do
Hi,
that.
Sips.
Hi. Can we also get like occasional like what we think Sips would have said about novelty songs? What
Absolutely.
Do you think?
I think he would talk about new metal at this point, or something that Fred Durst did. That's what he would say. Not that Sips is particularly into Limp Bizkit, but I think when we start thinking about music in the 80s and 90s, he will bring up Limp Bizkit or something like that.
But I don't know if any of like the real popular bands actually did novelty songs. I don't know if like 80s
Slade
rappers did.
Slade were big and they did It's Christmas.
Well, this is the thing. This is
Slade
the, okay,
that big?
Talking about
Yeah, they were huge.
Were they?
So they have been They have been coasting off the Christmas song for 25 years.
Yeah, get it together, Noddy Holder. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, that's the funny thing. I can't remember when I read this, but if you do something for Christmas, right, it can sometimes make you immortal. In the case of like
Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Did you see her weird trailer? She like,
yeah,
that was weird. She like put out a tweet with this video of her in ice and she was being defrosted like she was getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
It felt like, I don't know, some horrible dystopian world where Mariah Carey's just cryogenically frozen
to microwave Mariah Carey.
Try to defrost Mariah. Like,
here we go.
No.
3083 and we're still doing it. I think the weird thing is that's basically her saying, my career is over and this song that I did 20 odd years ago is the only reminder
my
you
most
have
famous
that I exist.
Thing.
So,
do you think back like 2,000 years ago when they had like, you know, a folk song that they'd play around festival season and Dave had written it and every year Dave would be like, I'm going to play the song, guy. They had the same kind of, oh, fuck off, Dave, experience that we have with Mariah. Is this like
absolutely? I'm sure that's the. I'm sure that's happening at like hippie sort of places all over the world where they have like their yearly festival, and this one couple or guys have been running it for 35 years, and every it's tradition for him to get his guitar out and sing it around the campfire. Yeah, absolutely. Like, look, I'm sure it happens on a small microcosm as it does on the mega.
And also, you know, there would have been a moment where the name Dave represented new tech. Like, that was
right,
like,
yes.
No one had met someone called, what's his name? Dave? What an exotic and unusual name. Dave. Wow. They would have been very excited.
Real forward thinker, Dave.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
You see this sometimes in like 80s and 90s TV shows where people have got these names that just are old person names now. Like Roz or
Arthur.
Or Gerald. Joey.
Gerald. I have not met a kid named Gerald in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. What about Sheldon? Who's naming their kid Sheldon?
Well, people that are fans of that fucking dog shit show. Big Bang.
I know, but they wouldn't name it after the nerdy one, would they? Do you see what I mean? That like,
yeah, they would.
I feel like they've accidentally destroyed. If you're writing like a sitcom with like a nerdy character, you kind of have to be careful not to ruin people's lives with that name.
He's the most popular character, and there are some diehard fans of that piece of shit. It's true.
But people.
Look,
he's not real.
People name their kids after Ayn Rand.
He can't hurt you, period. He's just on the television.
He's a cunt. People name their kids after Ayn Rand, and she was bonkers. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but she's not awful like Andrew Tate or whatever.
I mean,
obviously, in a. Yeah, but people, culturally, people aren't aware. No one's read enough of her. No one understands what Ayn Rand's fucking message is. Also, it's Anne. Like,
it's Ayn.
But people pronounce it Anne, don't they?
It's Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand. So Ayn it's Rand. Kind of no one.
Well,
no one
let me tell you,
Ayn
Rand is enough
Anne,
for me. I don't want
no one
to
would
try
say,
oh,
what, after Ayn Rand.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
then again,
they
no
do.
One's no
you're,
one's saying,
you're,
oh, you've named your son Andrew after Andrew Tate.
You need to watch. You need to watch. All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace by Adam Curtis, documentary about the influence that Ayn Rand had. I don't want to get political here. But the influence that her writing
I've
had...
I've watched a lot of Adam Curtis stuff, and I always feel like it's a little bit bollocks.
You're an idiot.
I kind of can't... Some of the connections that he makes are so mental, though, in his
documentaries.
It's
interesting. It's like a philosophical essay.
Yeah,
it's intriguing.
It's fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, the head of the Fed Bank in the US was a massive fan of Ayn Rand. That is important to know. That is well worth knowing.
Yeah.
If he was a brony, and all of a sudden bronies were everywhere, you'd think, what's going on here? It matters. The influences on these people and the groups they belong to matter.
Sorry, where have the bronies gone? That's
such
an interesting point.
Where are the bronies? This is a very good point.
Where did they disappear?
They it's the same thing that happened with that viral video about NFTs that came out. That killed NFTs. Like, everyone was like, have you seen this viral video? Was it Line Goes Up or whatever?
Yeah.
Where everyone saw that, and every NFT person out there suddenly just was like, oh, they changed their ideas from NFTs to AI. It's like, AI is the new thing. Do you know what I mean? Anyone you asked about NFTs, you're now asking about AI. It's totally, they've scuttled away back into the corners, you know.
So you think the brony generation evolved into the NFT bro salesman, blue tick salesman? Is that the pipeline?
It's the natural progression.
No,
pipeline.
Not in any way is that the case.
I think they realized that this was not a fight they could win. Do you mean?
Well, they stopped making the show, didn't they? The show.
I don't know. That might just be the answer.
I think they just stopped making the show. I mean,
They woke up one morning and realized they were in the fucking Nazi death cop or whatever with the skulls on their helmet, and they were like, "Oh shit, we're the bad guys. Look at what I'm doing."
I think they're just older now. I think that it was a cohort of people that fell in love with that show that were probably pedophiles and have now gone on to other things.
Well, this is what I'm saying. They realized one morning that they didn't want to, they weren't, but that's what everyone thought they were.
Would Sips push back on that? Sips would go along. I'm trying to figure out my role here. Kieran makes an inflammatory standout statement. Am I meant to? I guess I'm sitting with a thumbs up right now.
Just chill, Harry. That's an order.
Oh, God. No.
You're like if we were on the front lines here and bullets are whizzing overhead and you're just lying down and we're just looking at each other like, what? It happens all the time, mate. And you're like, they're shooting at us, sir. But yeah, that fucking happens
Can
every
we
day.
Shoot back, please?
Pyrian makes ridiculous claims every podcast.
As like heels of the internet, it's quite interesting though, because it does feel like we have evolved. They feel the same role, right? You know, it's kind of a collective group that everyone on the internet kind of just hates or can easily shit talk. You can always point and laugh. And if it isn't, I mean, you're right, AI bros are the next kind of heel. But who's the next heel? Like, who?
Me.
Old men on the internet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, seriously, my generation are going to really be despised, if we're not already, because we're going to start telling people that the only reason the internet is good is because we did the hard work in the early days. And people are going to be like, fuck off, it's better now than it ever was. And be like, oh, you don't remember the back of the days when something awful, blah, blah, blah. And we'll make all these claims.
Yeah.
And people will tell us to shut the fuck up. And old people are on TikTok now. My mum is on TikTok fucking 24/7 commenting on shit. It's terrifying.
Mum's commenting on TikTok is an interesting... I've heard about this a lot. It's an interesting discovery. My girlfriend's mum, my partner's mum, actually runs a TikTok account where she posts fake replies. She just lies on TikTok. And I was like, why are you doing this? And she was like, it's fun. I like to just lie to people on the internet. I was like,
what the fuck?
Old people just don't belong.
They're crazy.
At all. They just don't know where they're meant to be.
Oh,
I think they're lost. What they're meant to be doing is going to flower shows and drinking tea. And instead, now they're on the internet.
Watching Crufts and Chelsea Flower Show.
Yeah,
and...
just relax.
Yeah.
But they don't. They're like, no, I have to be part of this online movement. It's like, no, please don't. It's just like, I feel too old for it. You are definitely too old for it. Stop. Put the phone down and chill.
They just don't understand any of it either. Like,
no.
Like they don't understand like what the idea of a dick pic is. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like they're so clueless.
Yeah, all the dick pics my mum sends me are rubbish.
but you just like they just don't they can't even fathom these things, you know.
I've got my hand in the air. This is something we've asked you about. Me and Sips. This is the point, Harry, where Sips and I are like, we still don't really understand it. We don't really get the whole dick pic thing.
Yeah.
So it's Lewis interesting, is talking isn't it? Now about me and Sips.
You understand what it is.
Yes.
And we are equally bothered about it. I know, but I think...
But Pyrrhon, you're a man. You understand.
There's a different level of misunderstanding of the even older generation, right? Like, imagine you don't understand it, knowing everything you know about how this works. You know, you have a deep-seated knowledge of how the internet works and what's on it and what's out there. Imagine what this is like for people who come from a different generation. They're clueless about so many aspects of it. And it leads them down these sort of, to have these weird opinions about it that just don't gel with anything we do. Which is why impressive that Adam Curtis has such staying power. He's made documentaries for about 20 years. I think I have watched them all. And I love them. But they are like, they just feel like so psychedelic. Do you know what I mean?
I like that.
Because they're all like, he connects like Kennedy with fucking Bitcoin or something. Do you know what I mean? He'll have some like, there'll be, everything will be interrelated.
It doesn't feel entirely conspiracy theory based. It's not like, it doesn't feel like he's spinning you this, I don't know, complete fairy tale. No, it's quite great. It is psychedelic, but it's still relatively
It's
grounded.
Great. If you haven't watched any, like, but he speaks with such authority and it just feels like, when I watch it, sometimes it feels like it's either exaggerated or like kind of
hyperbolic,
like assumptions that these assumptions are made that these things are connected. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, it's interesting that this thing happened and this thing interesting happened. Is that a coincidence? I'm always like, probably, but he's always like, this is caused it, you know, or this is on purpose, or this is related. And I'm kind of like, you know, it is fascinating that he digs through all this archival footage and finds these connections.
But that's such a human trait, though, to want to make things connected and not just accept the randomness of everything, right? Like, that's so core to us that I think that's why it speaks to people.
Well, of course, because it's reassuring to think that everything is connected, not just random garbage that's happened in a random order. You know, it's kind of, we want to have that, this is why conspiracy theories happen so often. It's because we want to believe that there's a higher pattern when something awful happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to think that it was a rational thing rather than just the bad, just chance or, you know, idiots or crazy people.
I do find it entertaining that it feels like a time where conspiracy theories are rife on the internet, and you know, incorrect facts are everywhere. But I feel like it's the elder generation who are warning us constantly. Don't be careful what you read on the internet, son. Just completely fucking hook, line, and sinkered on it. Just,
yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah, it is ironic that they are both
such brain rot for me. Just
both
to think about it,
the weakest to it, and the the most proliferate the warnings. You know,
yeah, that is interesting.
Oh my god. So yeah, you went to.
Oh yeah, so my flight. Here's my flight. I went to TI.
We've all been away. Yeah.
Okay. I went to Seattle for 2 weeks. Last couple of weeks of October, I flew out there for the International, which is like a big annual Dota tournament. Spoken about it in episodes of the past. I went again with my 10th TI, which is insane. Went out there. Flight out there was amazing, right? Half empty. As I'm sitting down.
I saw you saying this in your dressing gown.
There was literally half the plane. So I'm sitting down. There's no one next to me. There's a lady in front of me, two empty rows in front of her, another dude. To my right, a dude, and then like 10 empty rows. The stewardess comes around before the plane's taken off. She says, "We're fully boarded now. So once we take off, just lie down wherever you like. You've all got a row to yourself."
That is the dream.
That is the dream. And I was like, "Thank God." And then because they sort of serve sections of the plane, like there'll be a couple of stewardesses and all the food is for the back of the plane. And then the middle of the plane has another bunch of stewards and stewardesses and they've got their bit of food.
So what, she just brought you four meals and a bottle of champagne?
She said, "Can I get you a drink?" I said, "I'll have a glass of white wine, please." And she was like, filled it up. It was like a half a pint of white wine. Had one of them, waited a couple of hours, had another one and slept for like 5 hours on the flight. It was amazing.
So my question is, I've tried this sort of thing before and the seats are, they don't like line up so it can be comfortable to lie down across the gym.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
Bumps.
This was a, I don't know what piece of equipment it was, but this was an airline operated by Delta. The seats were flush and completely flush. The seatbelt things didn't poke up to you, none of that.
Okay,
and you could flip
up
the dividers and it was literally like, and it was four, it wasn't a three, it was a four.
Yeah, four.
And I could completely lie down and like on my back, I could just lie on my back completely extended and I it was that wide and it was completely flat. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Did you have like a duvet or anything?
Yeah, I had a little blanket.
And I hate those little
and a couple of pillows. The blanket is so
skinny,
wank, isn't it?
It's so wank.
Skinny blankets.
It made me think of the kind of shit they give you in hospital. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Do you need a blanket? Yeah. And it's like a tissue.
What do they do with those blankets? Do they take them and wash? Like, do you just get new ones every time?
Yeah, they launder them.
I think
they
launder
them.
I think that's why they can't give two fluffy big plush ones or else they'd end up.
Yeah, they get nicked.
The laundry would be
robbed,
just jammed full.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like how small can we make this blanket while also, you know, keeping it clean.
And then they just stick it in a plastic bag and it's like it never happened. I mean, there's just some business somewhere entirely operates on washing the shit that comes off planes. I guarantee that's their whole fucking thing.
Of course.
Virgin and all the other airlines
and
turn
hotels.
Up. Yeah,
I mean, that's
all
the
their
classic
stuff.
But I always, do you have like your plane costume? Do you have like a specific set of shoes
I just wear
clothes that you wear?
Very comfortable trousers. So normally not like tight jeans. I wear like a baggy pair. I've got a pair of corduroys that are very, very comfy. And a hoodie. But a hoodie preferably with a hood that I can put all the way up. It'll cover my face.
Yeah, that's the strat.
Yeah.
So, people always forget it's cold on planes. Like, it's
cold
as fuck. Fucking cold as shit.
Yeah.
Like, you need to stay warm.
I think it's because the Americans who like to, I get to England, I set my thermostat to 18. That's like a standard thing. It's like, and if they don't have aircon in the hotel that they can set to 18 and sleep in the cold, freezing fucking cold, then they go crazy. Apparently,
they're very delicate when it comes to temperature, the Americans.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but if there's anyone complaining about AC at anywhere, it'll be the Americans. There's no AC. So yes, that's how most of the world lives.
We will be commenting on the temperature, but we won't be complaining about it.
Yeah, we'll just roll. You're a bit hot, innit? But we don't have AC. Most places don't have AC. I'm sorry, America.
So yeah, I think that's why it's so fucking cold. But yeah, I've got my like plane gear set up like pretty much sorted now, and it makes
Talk
the whole thing
it.
A
what's
lot
your,
more.
Yeah,
what
what's your what are you rolling with?
It's like a big fluffy hoodie, like you said. Big fluffy pants, comfy pants, like trainers, and then I have like usually some sort of extra blanket or like cushion in my bag that I bring in with me just to like kind of, you know, so there's a way you can prop yourself up or like support yourself against a window or you know, I've done enough of the trips where I've like fallen asleep with my head like against a panel, like a,
and
like
you
a
wake
vibrating...
up and you can't move your arm for like 2 days or whatever. Yeah.
Worst. Where you're just fully locked. And yeah, and like the I mean, they always give you, I don't know if they give you this in, they always give you like a little pack with the toothpaste and a toothbrush in there and stuff like that. So you don't need to bring those yourself, but it's nice to have like snacks as well, chewy sweets and some crisps, mm-hmm. because I don't know about you guys, but my fucking head feels like it's going to explode when during like takeoff and landing, I get like such pressure.
Yeah. Can you not do the thing where you pinch your nose and blow?
Well, sometimes when I do that, it that's called a Valsalva maneuver.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, I think the Valsalva maneuver is more violent.
Oh, is it?
Shove both your fingers up your nose and just pray.
No, I mean, that's the one that I do when I have a arrhythmia in my heart, is the Valsalva maneuver. And that's more compression of the chest.
Oh, really?
I think it's more. This one is just a gentle blowing down your nose. That's not.
Well, whenever I do that, sometimes it completely fucking feels like something in my head is going to explode. So no, right. I try not to do that.
I agree, Liz. It's quite a violent maneuver. I don't know how people just do that casually. To me, it feels like a blood vessel is going to pop in my eyes.
I could do it gently.
I do it all the time.
But every time, I used to be fine when I was younger, but now if I try and do it, it like just it feels like I'm fucking about to like smack, like rip through a fucking sinus or something. It's terrifying.
You should don't do it too hard.
With myself. Yeah, well, I go ham. I go hard.
He's not a fucking pussy, Pyrian. Come on.
All right, well, Jesus. Calm down, jeez.
So you got to America. You got to Seattle.
How was Seattle? Do you enjoy being in Seattle? Right?
No, it was shit.
I've never
shit.
Been. Is it a show?
Why is it shit?
I used to love it. I've not seen a city go downhill as hard as Seattle has.
Really?
Yeah, in every way.
That's not nice.
It's the homeless problem there is out of control. Out of control. We went down. There's a part of the town where there's like lots of shops and stuff like that. Second Avenue for any Seattleites to know. Down there, past like Pike, you know, past Pike Place, down towards the other end. Is it Pine? Anyway, around there's a McDonald's, colloquially known as McStabby's, because all the homeless people, that's like the epicenter. I saw people shooting up in broad daylight in doorways, people smoking crack, homeless people on every corner. All the shops around there have like armed security guards, volunteer force. There's a group called something like Oak and Iron, and they're like a volunteer security force with body vests and they act like police and go
around.
That's
the most American thing ever.
Very American. And it's like a fucking war zone. It's crazy compared to what it used to be like. It used to be a chill, kind of vaguely hippie-ish in some aspects. And now it's
tech
bros and homeless people. And the prices in Seattle, I've never been anywhere more expensive in my life. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. £10 a pint. Easy. £10 a pint.
Jeez.
Everywhere. And the food here. So we were given this bothered me.
You working for Valve, by the way.
Yes, I know. I don't live there.
One of the richest companies
right,
in the world.
Right, but they're not the problem. The problem is the way Amazon, if you talk to anyone in Seattle, they fucking hate Amazon because of what they did to Seattle. You can go up and read about it. I'm not going to take the time. I'm not going to expend the labor to explain it to you. Do it on your own time, all right? There is a lot to read about what Amazon has done to Seattle and how it's fucked the entire city up. So here is some of my orders that I placed. We were given an Uber Eats per diem that PGL would pay for us to eat because it was cheaper than having catering, hotel catering.
PGL are the company running the event, right?
Yeah, so sorry.
I see. PGL, so you're not technically paid by Valve.
Right, so here's an example. This is an order that I placed. A Chinese restaurant called Din Tai Fung. Any Seattleites will probably know it. This was what my order was. One chicken fried rice, one sautéed string beans with garlic. How much do you think that cost?
£12.
Well, Uber Eats.
Plus delivery, £12? I don't know.
How about $60?
What?
How about $60? How about this place? This is Hong Kong Bistro. This is a Chinese restaurant that I ordered from. And my order was one roasted pork, which is just like some chunks of roasted pork, not a huge amount, chow mein, and some stir-fried broccoli. $80. To you?
Oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
That is eyewash. I actually don't... That's insane.
It is
How
insane.
Is that cheaper than the fucking
because
hotel
catering
restaurant?
Is unbelievable. We got some idea of how much it is. Let's say you go to a hotel, you're there for an event, or you're staying over or whatever. It's like a conference or something. And they have one of those big urns of coffee. You know those ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The price of one of those is about $800 at this hotel.
What are you talking about?
That's the price. That is how much it costs. Every time they fill it up, $800. Cancer?
Like, what is going on?
It's just the prices. I see
it's the hotel are charging that because they know they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Right.
$800. So if you give people $80 a day to buy whatever the fuck they want and just go, that's it, we're out, you've got $80, make it work. They'll do it, and you'll top up the over that with your own money.
When you were going out there, did you think, wow, $80 a day, I'm gonna be eating like a king? It's gonna be steaks every night,
literally.
Can
I
barely
was like,
afford some chow mein.
Like, I don't spend 80 quid a fucking week on food for me, and I've got $80 a day, no problem. And yeah, it was like one good meal or two very small meals. So I mean, to be fair, and I'm sure someone will be thinking this, there is the delivery cost and there's the markup from Uber Eats. So, okay, let's go out to a restaurant and eat there instead. Similar kind of prices. It's all expensive. Cup of coffee, $9 for a cup of coffee. It's just insane. So yeah, Seattle is just like that.
Is this what's happened? I feel like we're getting the same sort of thing about San Francisco and places like this that are trying to be very liberal, supportive cities to help homeless people. And so they become like actually a beacon or a magnet to them. And I heard that people were busing, you know, some cities were like literally getting buses to put their homeless people and send them to San Francisco and Seattle. I don't know how much of that is like just scaremongering.
Well, there are a lot of
stuff.
Them on the West Coast. A lot of homeless people West Coast. But
I'm surprised because Seattle's such a shit weather city.
Yes,
you know
that
I mean,
was
well.
My thing. I was like, if you're going to go somewhere, I understand California. I mean, but Seattle?
It could just be, you know, the West and East Coast are the most densely populated bits of America, right? And those are the biggest cities in those areas. So it's much like, you know, Bristol gets a lot of homeless population from the southwest of England.
They
all come up to Bristol because it's the first major city. Is it kind of the same thing that just when you have a catchment area with 5 million people, they...
Well, here's the thing. I live in London. I go out in London a lot. Mm-hmm. I have never seen homelessness like this in London.
Yeah.
Like, ever. And you would think that you would just be hoovering up all the homeless people.
This, if you've not seen it, we must sound awful, but they are fucking crazy as fuck.
Yeah, a lot of very mentally ill
people.
It's
super intimidating. Like, it is.
Yeah.
It's really, you don't feel safe. Like,
they're everywhere. And
the homeless people in America are not the same. They're basically the people that we have in mental institutions here.
Yes.
They're just on the streets instead.
Yeah. They have just been abandoned. The system is just like, nope, we have nothing that possibly we could do to help you. It's impossible, despite the fact that most other countries that have this kind of money, this would never happen. It's terrible. And the drug problem in America is awful.
It's pretty radicalizing seeing it, to be honest. It makes you be like, how has society failed to not fix this?
Yeah. And to also have created this era where apparently people just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to say, we got to do something about the homeless problem, you're seen as some hopeless liberal. Like, you're not seen as just a human being. It's like, this wishy-washy, bleeding heart shit. It's like, you haven't seen these people.
These are people. I think people do get dehumanized a lot. Now, having said that, I was walking to work very early on Wednesday to do some first aid training. And I walked past someone smoking crack in Queen Square.
Jesus.
Which, with a blowtorch out, middle of Queen Square, loud and proud. And I was like, I have never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
In
Queen Square is the nicest address as well.
It's lovely.
In central Bristol.
And he was having a great time smoking crack in it.
He was having a great time, I'm sure.
It's like, imagine someone was sat on the lawn of Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. It's Bristol's equivalent. It's Bristol's equivalent. Come on.
That's Bristol's equivalent.
Queen Square is not Buckingham Palace. Just for any travellers out there who are wondering, don't go to Queen Square.
No, it's like Soho Square. It's like the equivalent of Soho Square.
I think it's nicer than that, in all honesty. It is very nice.
We don't have a silly little hut in the middle, though. I like Soho Square's silly little hut.
Yeah, they do that with me.
All right, fine.
It's like, I think this is one of those things, a lot of the policies that people are bringing in to try to help are actually making things worse. And one of them is that we'll decriminalize drugs. That'll solve the problem. Just means that you do have people sitting around smoking crack and the police are just like, nothing we can do about it. It's not a good thing. Like, what that leads to is that those areas just get poorer and shitter, and less money flows there because nobody wants to open a business there. Nobody wants to live there. You end up with these areas that are just fucking DMZs. Like, it's just nobody goes there apart from homeless people and drug addicts. How is that going to help their situation?
Coming back, did it make you appreciate the things that England and the UK does at least a little bit?
Yes. I mean, we have a lot of problems. Mm. And, you know, when you see the problems in the States, you think this is not the way it's meant to be. Here's another example of something that blew my mind. The final late game show was in this theater. So we did like a live stage show, me and Jenkins, who was amazing. And it was like a 250, 300 person sort of theater, really nice theater, called the Children's Theater. Okay. And when we went there to rehearse, there was a play on for the kids. There's kids everywhere. I was like, this is a very nice sort of wholesome place. There is a sign on the entrance that says weapons-free zone. In other words, please don't bring your guns to the Children's Theater. Now, you need a sign to tell people not to bring guns to the Children's Theater. That's a problem. That is a fucking problem. What are you doing?
That's a huge red flag. Do you know what I mean?
Something might be awry when people are like, Children's Theater, let me get my Magnum. Just chill. You don't need a fucking gun in the Children's Theater. What's happening?
Well, no. Again, you're wrong. You need to protect the children.
Yeah, protect those children.
It's only me that can protect the children. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm mentally ill.
Stop a bad guy with a gun or a good guy with a gun.
Exactly. If a crazy guy with a gun gets in there, who's going to stop him if there's no guns allowed?
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? That's why all those rampaging gunmen... They never get away with it, do they? Because there's always people with guns around.
There's always someone with a gun.
Yeah, that guy
in
Maine that killed 18 people the other day, luckily, all the citizens that had all those guns shot that man to death, and he didn't kill 18 people. Fuck off. Gibberish.
So you had a nice time in Seattle, did you? I've been watching Frasier, weirdly.
That's not what I said at all.
There's a new series of Frasier, which is not like the original classic. When I used to go to school, Frasier was on Channel 4 at like 7:30 till 8 in the morning or whatever. And I had to get my bus at like 8:05. And I would always be watching Frasier like 7:30 to 8. And it always hooked you in, right? Because it was such a interesting show. It's such a good show. And I would always have to run for my bus, I remember, because I was watching the end of this episode of Frasier. Or my dad would cut me off. He'd be like, you better go now. You're turning it off.
And I never saw the last five minutes of the episode.
So I never quite got the punchline or whatever, or the resolution. God. Yeah, I just saw him in all these awkward situations. and so they've done a new series. It's obviously completely different, but I'm watching back the old ones.
Is it any good?
Yeah, Seattle is. You only really, it's like Friends, right? You only really see the apartment, the cafe, a couple of their workplaces, and that's it. You know, they got their three sets where the entire thing takes place. Sometimes they'll go to a restaurant and he'll have a meal with someone and something embarrassing will happen or whatever.
Right. But we only see the highfalutin end of Seattle. There is a lot to like about Seattle, but it genuinely felt unsafe compared to when I used to go there.
It certainly does in those central areas like Tenderloin and San Francisco. You know, that is like, you know, if you had to put a pin on the word Seattle on the map and you actually go to where that pin is, you know, that is, there's going to be 15 homeless people
and a giant pin apparently.
Because as Brits, we're more inclined to walk around the cities when we visit, and a lot of Americans just won't even hop out their car.
Very good point, Harry.
I love walking around cities when I go to visit, but the American cities just are not designed to walk around them.
No, I don't feel good. New York, you can still walk around New York. But San Francisco, I think I talked about this when we came back from it. We decided to take a little walk. It was about 2.5 miles. Mm-hmm. Forgot that San Francisco was almost entirely uphill. Even if you're going downhill, you're essentially going uphill. That's how uphill San Francisco is. We were exhausted. But we only saw the nice parts of San Francisco. Like, somehow we managed to avoid the fucking appalling, you know, area.
Because that's what often
die.
Happens. Yeah, like we did that in Vancouver, I remember. Let's go for a walk. And then suddenly, like, there's literally needles in the road.
That's
like,
the bad
there's,
bit. Yeah,
there's this
I know
queue
the
of crazy people, and you're like, oh no, and you're like holding onto your phone, and then again you walk out into a beautiful high rise on the next block, and you're like, well, what happened? And it's because of the grid system, and I guess maybe other cities do a better job of hiding their homeless population.
I think that's what you're right. That is one of the most jarring bits about American cities and their kind of
homeless populations is they're just next to each other. They don't, you know, I feel like in UK cities you get a bit of a blend or something that, you know, oh, okay, maybe we're going to a bit of a rougher area now. And it's like, no, in America, it literally is one block is the most decadent street right. in the world, and the next is Skid Row.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, so you had a good time, did you?
So, yeah, I mean, I do still like Seattle. It does have some, I mean, so, you know, Shane. Harry knows Shane.
Irish Shane. Yes.
Yeah. Lovely, bald Shane.
Exactly. My bald son, brother. Shane. Now, probably one of the most powerful people in Dota esports.
That's good.
Shut up.
He's a nice guy.
I'm serious. He is like Mr. Dota at ESL. Runs, as far as I can tell, runs Dota for ESL. Sets it all up. He's like the head honcho of Dota. And now, 8 years ago, Shane was eating lamb chops and drinking tea in his garage, his parents' garage, sorry, and was basically a very small streamer and good friend of mine. Occasionally worked esports events and then got a job at ESL and has gone that high. Incredibly competent guy.
He's so nice.
Yeah, but he's also really, really good.
Very passionate.
Very
man.
Passionate. But yeah, top lad. So
he's got a great voice, right? He's very friendly. He's because he's Irish, isn't he? As well,
he is.
Right?
He's very
so
Irish. Yeah.
That everyone loves the Irish accent, especially the Americans. They can't get enough of it.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
It's kryptonite.
He's
really
just very
is.
Good. Yeah, he's just very
it is,
good.
It's like their weakness.
But so I went out for a coffee with him, and he was telling me that he'd got an Uber a couple of days prior. And it was like an evening, he was coming back from somewhere, it was like an evening Uber, and he gets chatting to the driver, and the driver is a Boeing engineer.
Okay, what?
And this guy works at Boeing. Boeing is a huge employer in Seattle. So this guy works at Boeing making airplanes, and also in the evening drives an Uber to help make ends meet. And Shane was like, are you serious? He was like, yeah, quite a few of us do it. It's pretty hard times, you know, sometimes just... help make ends meet and everything. So this guy supplements his income
at Boeing.
Being
America,
an Uber
you
driver.
Should be ashamed.
And me and Shane were also thinking.
America, if you're listening.
Right,
America.
This guy's going to be tired. Do you want to fly in a plane designed by an engineer who also has to double as an Uber driver? What if he's tired one day and he's like, we don't need wings on these ones anymore. And they're like, you're the head engineer. Whatever you say goes. So suddenly you're flying in a giant tube. That's the future.
Interestingly, when I was in TwitchCon Paris, a friend, I met this person, was chatting to them, and they work for Airbus or whatever the fucking, I think it's the French equivalent of Boeing, right? The big, huge European plane manufacturer. And in his spare time, he has like a collection of 3D printers that print stuff in metal and stuff like this.
Wow.
Like,
oh my God.
He's got this like whole... He was such an interesting man. Oh my God. And obviously really, really smart. And I was just
such
like,
a contrast.
This guy is so
wait,
cool.
So wait, you can 3D print with metal?
Yeah, apparently you can make these crazy things. And he was like saying how it was his hobby, but then he was gonna start making them use it in the factories as well, like take it through into their business. Like
wow.
Because I guess you can make these incredible 3D printers. You've seen some of the crazy stuff they print, right? Because mm-hmm. you can basically build all the internal structure out of like these these really complicated shapes that are really hard to forge, I guess, out of metal. So yeah, you can build like these incredible pieces. Apparently, it's the future 3D printing in metal.
All I've seen really is miniatures. I haven't seen anything interesting, really cool.
Oh no, but you know they make these like weird 3D puzzles and stuff, right?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't know anything about
3D
it.
Print.
I've really not.
You can print
into
these because you can obviously it's all printed layer by layer. Mm. You can make
like
these
slices.
Incredibly elaborate internal structures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you see someone do a really complicated like. Joint in a joinery, you know, some Japanese table where they've got like they carve wood into this weird fucking jigsaw puzzle
piece shape
and stick it in the corner. Imagine that, but with metal, you know, and things like this. It kind of gives you such an ability to do new or create smaller.
What would you 3D print if you could?
Oh my God.
It'll definitely work, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, do we have a scale limit?
No.
Well, here's the
3D
thing,
print
right?
Whatever you want.
I feel like if you asked me that as a what is going to be done?
No, I'm asking you what you want.
Right.
Because I'm just saying this. I'm sure it's wonderful technology, but we've been told everything's going to be 3D printed, and it's not. So all I'm saying is, you can have something 3D printed right now. What is it? Or is it that it's such a new technology that the true applications reasons for it have not yet been discovered. I could believe that. But all I'm saying is, you can have something 3D printed. What do you want?
Yeah. It brings up the whole...
The thing is, it's like saying... You want something crafted. Like, it's just, it's, there's, it can do anything. Like, it's too open right. a format, right?
But what is it that you would need 3D printed that you would not be able to get otherwise? That's all I'm saying. I'm sure.
I guess is that not the factor that it's just easier to make it? It's not that it can really do, it can do slightly more complicated stuff, but actually just, it's the ease of manufacturing. Like, we can manufacture this thing now in a week instead of a year.
Right. So really, it doesn't affect me. This is exciting for people who make things.
It's as exciting as a new superconductor chip coming out, right? Like, it tangibly for us, it doesn't make a huge difference. What it does is it just accelerates society further forward,
they can
faster,
make shit much easier and better. Yeah. That's great. Will the prices
Maybe.
Then be lower?
No. It's all going to be Seattle prices. It's still going to be Seattle prices very soon. Period. Yeah. Start
so
saving.
So essentially, this is going to be a great thing for a handful of people. And for the rest of us, you can make a miniature.
I wonder about this because, like, the, you know how on photocopiers and printers, the manufacturers of them have to build software that means you can't print currency, right? And so it's like, it recognizes if you put like a £10 note in Photoshop or in
photocopier. No, there's something in the note that the photocopier picks up.
I think it's both.
It doesn't recognize the money. I think there's a symbol on the money.
It does.
That sends a signal to the printer, if I remember
it does.
Rightly.
No, Adobe and all these people have relate this. It's they're legally required to put in money recognition.
Wait. I've never tried this list. What happens if you like paste it in bit by bit and then you slowly build, like, can you trick it? Like, instead of just the whole image, can I just do, like, you know, 10
Barry,
pixels
can we
at
not
top?
Get the FBI round?
The FBI
we can print
come
money
here.
Lewis, why did you not tell me this?
Photocopying money, there, I've googled it.
Yeah, there's this whole thing that you can't do, right?
The secret codes of British banknotes.
Yeah, you can't do there it. It's not it's impossible. Anyway, are 3D printer manufacturers going to have to build in anti-gun recognition? Do you know what I mean? So, like, if you try and print a gun, they'll be like,
You already can print guns, right? That is just a thing that is out there.
It's illegal,
can,
but,
like,
but
or components.
Can.
But apparently one of the parts of it, again, has to be made of metal, and so therefore, like the firing pin or whatever.
Do you have any notes on you? I'm looking at a £20 note now. If you look on the left-hand side if any of you listening at home, if you have a note, most people don't have cash, I happen to have some. On the left-hand side, it says £20, top left corner. Then it says London, for the governor and company of the Bank of England. And then it says Sarah John, chief cashier. Then there's a picture of her, Madge. And then there's a weird bunch of dots in a specific constellation. That is what they recognize.
Really?
And apparently a lot of notes will have that.
Oh,
and
right.
That's
it's
what the photocopier is. That's what I'm saying.
Constellation.
Yeah, is that essentially, I don't think the photocopier is clever enough to look at it. Because it's a very, very stupid machine, a photocopier.
Is that suddenly an amazing way of hiding images from AI? Do we find out what these patterns are that AI has learned not to look at? You know?
You could. If you put this, I think if you put this constellation of dots on an image, and put that in and asked it to photocopy, I wonder if you could trick
it
into thinking
no.
it was money.
I think so.
It says so in an article. At first, he drew the pattern in isolation on a blank piece of paper, printed it, and tried to photocopy it. When it was a black and white pattern, the photocopier reproduced it. But when you tried coloring in the circles, it churns out the anti-counterfeiting message. So this
no
guy did
way.
This. Yeah, so it just recognizes it and auto-prints a piece of paper that says, oh, that's against your law and I'm not allowed to do it. I'd get into just as much trouble as you if I was to photocopy that.
I love the idea. I love the idea that, you know, that's the bit. We've got to stop people at that stage, not when they go into, you know, Tesco's with a paper £20 nut. Like, who's actually going to fall for it? Like, it's such like it feels like such an 80s worry. People are going to photocopy money. Like, no one's going to fall for that. It doesn't work.
I think it was a big scare, though, because the technology was advancing so quickly and people thought, oh, wow, this color photocopying. Could they just be photocopying money? And I'm sure there was a spate of it at some
point.
Does
that give you hope that they're going to protect us from AI? That's the one thing they did? They put in some dots on the money so that we could photocopy
it? It is kind of weird that our printers aren't good enough to do money, like, real good.
I think it's not a surprise at all, because the government would just say, no, you can't do that. They wouldn't be I don't think it's lack of technology, Lewis. I think it's just that I'm sure it's possible.
I heard there was a bunch of North Koreans like doing really good counterfeits as well of money.
Really?
So apparently, like, countries can do this. Yeah,
no doubt. I mean, if you like, that's the thing. The technology is there to reproduce it because if the Bank of England can make it, some other clever people can make it. I'm sure.
They call them super dollars. It's a very high counterfeit US $100 bill.
Wow.
And apparently, since 2011, they've been in worldwide circulation from the late 1980s.
Wow.
There was huge amounts of them done, apparently. And North Korea is the possible source that people have talked about as where they've come from.
But it's so nice having North Korea, isn't it? We can just kind of throw blame and that what no one's ever going to...
Yeah, what are you
going to do?
It was the bloody North Koreans,
it was the fucking North Koreans again.
Oh, I knew it. Bloody knew it. It wouldn't surprise me, though.
Really, really interesting. Well, I guess they you know, the $100 bills, a lot of them get into a briefcase. You know, well, at least it used to be a lot more... used to go a lot further nowadays, you know, if you're on the per diem.
Yeah,
that's
geez.
Not taking you very far.
Yeah, no one's thought about criminals when it comes to all this inflation previously. Like you said, suitcase of money, briefcase of money, and they're like, well, where's the rest of them? That's like, what's that?
Nowadays, you land at the Dota tournament, they give you a briefcase full of $100 bills. That's just your Wednesday.
Yeah, that's your food for today. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll hear about the thing is, Pyrion always tells me and Harry and other people all these things at the pub, and he says, oh, I can't tell you this.
There's a long list of secret Pyrion stories.
It's yeah.
True. Here's a non-secret. I went around, I got a tour of the Valve offices. Everybody got a tour of the Valve offices.
Oh, cool.
Because they've moved. They've got new offices. Well, it was about 4 or 5 years or so. But I obviously, we haven't been in Seattle for TI since 2017. So they moved a few years after, you know, the International left Seattle. Mm. They moved offices. And on the day after I landed, I went in to do some voiceover stuff for them for the tournament. There was like player profiles and stuff. It was my stupid voice doing the profiles. And while I was there for a few hours. I had lunch there and had a little tour and everything. Amazing offices. Absolutely amazing. They have something I've never seen it before in a building like this. They're like on the upper floors. And towards one side, they've got this big open area with a staircase. And the staircase goes down 4 stories of these offices.
Yeah.
And it's just open above it. And you can get off at each of the floors. So the staircase, it's like this huge staircase, this massive open plan area. You do not feel like you're in the top few floors of a building. You feel like you're in like a spaceship or something. And the views that they have from the windows where the canteen is are just unbelievable. You can see the whole of Puget Sound, Mount Rainier, the volcano over there.
Wow.
And I was just like blown away. It is so, and everything in the office was just gorgeous. Their monitors, oh my God, you've never seen monitors like this. It was amazing. I was like, I want those. I want those monitors. They're so big and so
clear. Did you steal
clear.
Anything? Did you heist anything?
I stole 2 things.
Okay. Nice. Good.
Okay.
Good.
And no word of a lie. I stole 2 things from the Valve offices. I stole a pack of gum.
Nice.
And a chapstick.
And wait, is it a branded chapstick? A Valve branded?
It is a chapstick branded chapstick.
Oh,
It's real. And so in the bathroom, some fool had left a basket out with all kinds of things in, like gum and chapstick. I stole a chapstick and stole a pack of gum. Never saw that coming.
Yeah, it sounds like they were the same offices that I went to when I was there with Sips. And
yeah.
It was nuts. Like, yeah, but this is what you expect from I mean, the Valve have one of like the highest ratios of amount of money made per employee. Do you know what I mean? 'Cause that's one of these metrics that they use to measure these companies. Like the average Apple, they have like $500,000 per employee or whatever.
Jesus.
At Apple, but it's actually like 10 times that.
Yes.
Like it's actually insane.
I mean, there's more people working in that office than in the previous one. Like they've definitely got more people.
Good. They need some people.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, I was surprised, honestly, how many people they had.
Did it feel like a lot of it was working on Counter-Strike? That's what I assume.
I cannot divulge anything about what I saw inside the offices, other than they're very pretty and I stole some chapstick and some gum. But I'm not going to say anything else.
Apple is actually $2.5 million per employee.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's mind blowing.
That's considering they have all the stores as well.
How do the Yogs match up compared to that? How many millions per Harry? Harry and Dad?
20 quid?
No comment.
I think you're looking at it, period. 20 quid?
20 quid?
Well, it's enough to afford a chicken chow mein, I think.
Yeah, that's true. One chicken chow mein in Seattle.
Yeah, and they have to split it though, because we can't afford chapsticks in the toilet.
Come on,
we'll train.
Go on.
True.
Well, maybe that's a nice. It's not much effort for them to do that, is it? As well, and
they felt very nice. And their fridges are like, you go to the lunch area, and there's just, it's like going to the sandwich and sushi part of a supermarket, but it's on like 8 floors. It's like that on every floor, and
free.
Yeah, and you just go there, and there's just all the soft drinks and snacks you could want. There's like healthy salads, there's like sandwiches, there's sushi. You just, help yourself. I was like, fuck me.
I mean,
how do you ever leave the office?
When you have megacorps like this and that office you just described, it just suddenly isn't surprising that Uber Eats, you know, Chinese takeaway is $80. It now makes sense. Like,
oh my God, imagine how much they have to pay for it, you know, given that it's like £800 per urn of coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
That must cost them an absolute bomb. Plus, they got the gym, they got laundry on site
as
well.
Oh, they've got everything. Like, they've got like creche there. They've got, they've got gyms, they got everything.
It's very, very cool. And yet, people, I know many people who've gone there, done it for a year and been like, nope, I'm leaving.
I think it's extremely high pressure is the problem. Because every single person you meet there is stupidly competent. And they have very high expectations that if you're working there, you're going to fucking deliver some serious, clever shit. And the ones that do are just like, holy shit, these guys are like the smartest people I've ever met. It's insane. Everyone that I've ever met that works there is wildly clever and competent. And I just feel like such a fucking idiot. I honestly feel, compared to Valve employees and the offices and how smart they are, like one of the homeless people in Seattle.
Wow, he just sits down on the side of the street. I guess this is where I belong. This is it.
Yeah. You're just the giant doofus. Yeah.
I can afford two more chow mains before I'm bankrupt.
Yeah, it's a different world. We could talk about it all day because I remember it was such an interesting place.
That's such a peek behind the curtain. That is a real.
It is, like, yeah.
Really privileged to have
very lucky.
had that. Yeah,
I mean to go to the offices to do some work for Valve gave me a real thrill because it was like, wow, that is like, how many people can say they've done that? And I know people there because I've been going there for years and we've worked with them for years, so I see people that I know from there, and it's just so strange to think how powerful this company is and how rich it is, and then they're fucking employing me. It just seems ridiculous that they couldn't do better. Like, imposter syndrome.
Don't tell them.
It's just like, if you want to feel imposter syndrome, go to visit Valve, because you will fucking feel like a mouse.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I mean, it's weird that we all have our own, like, because Sips has a friend at Valve, and I have a friend at Valve, and then we've got our Jingle Jam contact at Valve, who we're quite friendly with, and then you've got your friends at Valve separately. So it's weird that we do have, like, because you think of them as so private and secret and difficult to kind of be in touch with. But
it's
actually, we've all got...
we all work in gaming in one way or another.
I guess you're around in earlier days, right? And nowadays, it's probably even harder to go and try and meet or find somebody.
Maybe. I don't know what their connections are like with other content creators and people like us. I really don't. I mean, we might think we're like got a good relationship, but actually, you know, some guy that makes CSGO videos is like their favorite person ever, and they have a throne room for him there. It's impossible to know.
But at the same time, they are royalty in our eyes, though. Right? And compare in the same way that Blizzard used to be for me when I played WoW. True. You know, getting invited to go around Blizzard was the dream. You know, so I think it's.
Well, consider this. You guys make quite a lot of content involving, like, the Source Engine, right? Like, the TTT stuff and all the rest of that. And you guys have done gaming content for years. So they're gamers. Like, they love games and content about their games especially. So it's not really a surprise that Valve are going to reach out and you're going to make contact there. I've made Dota content and worked in Dota for 11 years, so that's not really... a surprise. All the other guys I know that work in Dota also have friends at Valve. So we just work on products that they have made. It's not really that surprising that we would have some contact with them, I think. That's fair to say.
Yeah, and I think you're right about it being something which is not for everyone. Like, I think that their systems and the way they work is very unusual and different and unique. Yeah, for sure. Holy crap, Barry! Thank you for joining us on this episode.
Not a problem at all. Thank you for having me. It's been a wonder.
First stand-in. You're an honored man, and you should be because we love you, Harry. So
thank you very
much. Yeah, you fit in perfectly.
It's been a pleasure.
My God, you can come back and of course shout out to your brilliant podcast.
Of course,
that you do.
Actually, both of you have guested. You've both been on Zero Degrees.
It's so fun.
We answer people's problems, much like Mailbag. It's good and silly time.
We don't sort anybody's problems in the Mailbag. We create more problems.
Yeah, we usually postulate like we question the reality and nature of
it's quite a raw experience.
A little bit like Adam Curtis.
Just opening people's questions, isn't it? I don't know. It's fun though.
We just explore the weirdnesses of people out there.
Harry, when I come down next month.
Yes, sir.
Can I meet Pepper?
You can meet my beautiful daughter. Yes. Yes, I'll bring her to the office with a bit of jingle jam.
I can't wait. All right. I'm staying right near the offices, so as soon as she's in, just let me know.
Yes.
I'll come zooming over.
So there's this one Airbnb that they love. Just and Miriam booked it for the entire jingle jam so no one else could.
Not true.
Could get
I
it.
Booked it for 1 week.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The second
in fact,
week.
This was right. Do you remember that day when I was down last?
You were hanging out with Martin, yeah. Martin was like, I'm booking that Airbnb, and you got
your
phone.
I was talking
distracted
about
him somehow.
I was describing it to Martin and Sparkles, and they were like, really? Wow. I was describing how close it is and how nice it is. I showed them pictures. And then while they're talking
stayed
about
there,
it,
he stayed there a few times. Martin has.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was thinking about booking it. And
right.
You
well, Sparkles
beat him
hadn't
to
heard
the punch.
Of it. So while we're talking about it, I booked it on Airbnb.
That's so funny.
For that week. Yeah. So he changed what week he's coming down so he could stay in it as well.
Wow. So we don't get Martin and Perry together because you're both going to stay in the same
same place. I get it after him. So I was like, leave it in a good condition, please. He was tempted to leave little traps lying around for me.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Fuck's sake. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone. Hopefully, Sips will be less flooded then and everything will be back to normal. But I might be going away on holiday, and so Barry might come back and cover for me.
Barry hasn't offered yet. But
maybe we need another member of.
Let's mix it up. Let's mix it up.
Do a mix up.
Is Lydia more like me or is Ravs more like me?
Oh, Lydia. I think Lydia's. Ravs. Ravs would be better. Yeah.
We want to get a lady. We've never had a lady. Standing.
Well, let's certainly get Lids. Wonderful
Lids.
She can do a good Lewis. You've done the detective stream together.
With all these holidays, we were so paranoid about missing an episode. I was like, I can't break our streak.
We've got such a good streak going. Right, that's the episode.
Lovely stuff.
Yes, we're done. Thank you,
everybody. We're done. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.